Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Thanks for joining us on another PT Pearl. Today, we are talking into hamstring strains. So why they might feel chronically tight, why they might feel overused, some strains that we might have. And we're going to also review some of the exercises that are really popular to help to prevent any of this.
You're just overusing me. Our hamstrings, why are we overusing them? Where are our hamstrings? First of all, our hamstrings are the group of three muscles, sort of four muscles, that are on the back of our thigh.
You want to go over them real quick?
Yes. The main three, if not four, hamstrings are the semimembranosus and semitendinosus that run down the inside of your leg. And there, if you reach right kind of back around the inside of your knee, those little things that you can kind of feel strumming. The tendinosus is the tendony one that you feel right on the inside of that knee. On the outside, we have our biceps femoris, which has two heads, the long head and the short head. If you're kind of feeling on the back of the outside of your knee, the really ropey one, that is where both of them have now, quote, come together to attach below the knee. And the short head is attached on the thigh bone. The long head goes all the way and attaches above the hip. That's a lot. Hopefully there were some diagrams showing on the videos if you wanted to go look at that on YouTube. But those are the hamstring muscles.
Mm-hmm. And really important because this is often such a talked about one where mm-hmm. it's just like, my hamstrings are chronically tight. I foam roll, I stretch, and I can never touch my toes.
Yeah, totally. And a lot of people who are thinking their hamstrings are chronically tight, your hamstrings are just chronically irritated and we're irritating them somehow. And that makes us think, oh, I need to stretch it, right? And we'll go into that a little bit more, that we don't always just need to stretch our hamstrings. We actually need to load them, and we need to load them as they lengthen. And we're going to talk about why that's important.
Yes, loading while you lengthen. That's such a beautiful way to say eccentric exercise. It's a great way.
Totally. And eccentrics is kind of where we can go a lot when we're having tendon or muscles issues to kind of teach those muscles, again, to take some load and take through a lot of different range. Doesn't mean our hamstrings aren't strong, aren't able to generate force. It doesn't mean that they aren't mobile or don't have range. Can we coordinate those two together?
A lot of times when you actually are feeling that hamstring being really tight, especially if you're doing something like a forward fold or you're going into a stretch, that muscle has actually been taught to hold you back. Yeah. And a lot of the times, and what does that mean? That just means that your hamstring doesn't feel safe in an elongated position, which is why we talk about in the beginning, you know, doing exercise that load in a lengthened position actually help because it allows your brain to feel like, oh, I have the control to be able to go into this range. And so a lot of times if your body doesn't feel in control, which we're going to talk about in a lot of different areas, then that's where it says, nope, this doesn't feel like it's going to be safe. I'm going to hold you back and I'm going to tighten. And then all of a sudden we feel this tightness come on and we say, my hamstrings are tight.
Yeah. And that process kind of happens because we have these sensors or these nerves that go into our muscles. They can be called muscle spindles or Golgi tendons. Those two groups together, one helps set the resting length of the muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people say, oh, I have really long hamstrings. Your Golgi tendons and muscle spindles just must have a long resting length of that muscle. And then the other one is the one that senses how fast we're stretching that muscle. And if we stretch it too fast for those for their comfort, really, they'll be like, nope, we're not going to let you stretch that fast. Yep. We're just going to hold you here, which essentially could cause a strain if we're stretching that muscle fast enough and hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. And so why do we get like that overuse? Why do we get these strains? Because it happens a lot. And it's not always to the point where it is a rupture where the tendon is coming off of the bone. But sometimes a lot of people, you know, develop a lot of these strains or sometimes the bruising in the muscle or even just that tenderness, that pain that starts to happen right at the base of the bum. So kind of where your hamstring and your glute meet, that is often where you're going to feel a lot of those strains.
And again, anytime we're straining a muscle, tearing a muscle, anything to that extent, it tells me like, okay, we're putting too much pressure and too much tension through that muscle, either acutely. So either we just did one big jump that was past the muscle's breaking point mm-hmm. and caused a little tear or strain or something, or we've done it repetitively over time to the point where now those muscles that are sensing the stretch are like, I don't know what the heck's going on. I'm just going to tell this guy he's in pain because he's way overdoing it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that can happen for a lot of different reasons.
100%. So a lot of times what we tend to see is a lot in runners, mm-hmm. you know, getting a lot of these strains, or someone who maybe they don't regularly run and they're trying to pick up running yeah. and then all of a sudden are noticing strains or pains happening into the hamstring.
The first week felt great, but now these last 2 weeks, it's awful. The back of my thighs are sore. Okay, the first week we weren't quite popping ourselves over our tolerance level, mm-hmm. but then once our body realized, hey, he's not giving us rest. Does he realize that, or does he or she, they realize we need to recover? You know, once we start adding that recovery back in, maybe the running you were doing would have helped. It was just slightly over that tolerance.
Right. And there's different techniques in which we run, and is our body ready to run? Like a lot mm-hmm. of people think, oh, I'm just going to go into running, when we don't know any of the mechanics, or we're not building up the strength from our feet into our hips, so we mm-hmm. don't have the range of motion, you know, and also going into running, like there's a whole, we could probably do a whole separate podcast, yeah. right, on running technique and everything. But in general, if we're running with really long strides, we're putting a lot of demand on especially our hamstring to be able yeah. to support us and power us through. And it might not be ready for that elongated length that we talk about if you haven't been loading it in that length. And then all of a sudden yeah. you're expecting it to work for you during a run.
Totally. And when we land, when our heel hits the ground, our hamstring's in a pretty long position, and then it all of a sudden needs to quickly hold on. As the knee bends a little bit, it lengthens even more. So that's, like I said, a really powerful position where our hamstring's trying to slow down a lot of weight, our whole body landing on that heel, mm-hmm. and it's elongating at the same time. And so if we don't have that, quote, eccentric strength, mm-hmm. but then we go and run and we're trying to take really, really big, long strides, that could be something that all of a sudden makes that hamstring say, nope, you are past my limit. I'm going to let you know. That will be even worse if we aren't paying a lot of attention to the positioning of our pelvis and how much control we have in our core.
Exactly. So this is called like our lumbopelvic area. This mm-hmm. is just where the lumbar, the low back meets the pelvis or the hips.
Yeah.
Right. And so we talk about this a lot, right? We've talked about it in a lot of other podcasts, and it even comes back into the breath podcast that we talk about. That's the baseline of where you're really starting. And that's why every exercise, as we go into the optimal body, every set of core exercises every single month, because the core is different every month, because I want to address all the differences you might see in a workout pattern, right? However, we always start at the breath. We always start at the control of the pelvis. We already start at what is happening from my rib cage down to my pelvic area.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have that awareness and that control, then I go running and I might just end up dumping forward into that anterior tilted or lumbar low extension position. And then as you're running, you're then, think about where the hamstring in the back of the leg kind of attaches up into that butt area, right? And if that is now being elongated and then you're running on it repetitively, that lack of control can be, you know, some of the causes and reasons why you're having a little bit more strain into that hamstring.
Yeah, it can absolutely contribute to unbalanced hips, to using hamstrings over quads, over glutes, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the coordination of all of those that really might result. I mean, similar, if you watch somebody walk and their pelvis is just jutting all over the place with every step, what I'm thinking about when it relates to the hamstrings is, again, they're attached to the pelvis. So every time that pelvis juts up and down, our hamstrings are kind of like tugging on to be like, okay, should we just let you go and flop around uncontrolled? Should we like hold on? And if we're doing that while we're running, more pressure, more tension, those hamstrings are going to talk to us sooner.
Yeah. And in general, if you're just not paying attention into, if you're not doing workouts and specifically adding strength exercises in for your hamstring, you could be doing a detriment to your body in the long run, especially if you want to run and jog and chase your kids and chase your dog. That's just regular stuff, right? So we want to be addressing and putting in exercises that are actually going to help to strengthen and build, especially if you're a person who's like working out all the time and yet you're like, my quads are always sore. I'm only feeling my quads.
No.
Well, it could be an indication that your hamstrings don't have that awareness yet, and we need to do some exercises that build in that strength, awareness, and power in the hamstrings.
Totally. So if we kind of review all the things that we went and like, all right, how do we fix that? How do we address that? Right? We always start at the core. So if I go central on my body to the first thing that I can fix, quote, or start to address, it would be that lumbopelvic control, mm-hmm. right? How can we now again start to return and coordinate our core stability with what our hips are doing and with what our pelvis is doing? Jen and I love returning to breath work, understanding how that connects our rib cage and our pelvis, how that connects our diaphragm in our ribs and the diaphragm in our pelvis. Mm-hmm. When we get all those syncing up, doing some breath, doing some basic stable core stability, then we might move into something a little more dynamic.
Right, exactly. Because it's like we're always expecting, like, I'm going to build the glutes, I'm going to build the hamstrings, I'm going to build all these external muscles before I have the control internal. And that's something that we've talked about before, like, don't expect to put something on the external and fix the internal. So just like Dom, I love that you're like, come back to the core first, like address this first, understand how your pelvis is moving in space in relation to your back and what you can start to do to gain more control. And then we can start to say, okay, now how do I pack on to the pelvis, which is the glutes and the hamstrings?
Yeah, we could start balancing up our hip muscles, right? We're trying to address like, okay, can we use our glutes more and have them help support the hips, or in these certain parts of these exercises, where do we want to nuance different muscles? But if we don't have the core control or the core support coordinated with that, then we might just pop back into old patterns once we start adding in more things. Like the more complex the exercise, the more we forget about the base.
Exactly.
So we could probably go back to that, you know, some base core exercises again for 3, 4, 5 weeks. Again, while we might be working on other stuff.
Yeah, you can still be strengthening, but if you're only like, okay, it's my hamstring, I'm only going to address like these cool exercises for the hamstring, then we're really kind of forgetting that baseline and building on the foundation, which is what we always talk about and do in the beginning anyways.
Absolutely. And so say we're getting some good consciousness of our core now, there are also some great hip exercises that, one, we know really activate the hamstrings, mm-hmm. but two, we can also kind of like nuance between the hamstrings on the inside of the leg, like I said, the semimembranosus, semitendinosus, or the hamstrings on the outside of the leg, which are the biceps, the long head and short head of the biceps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just in your arm.
No, not these biceps.
Biceps femoris. Yeah, so the exercise that I think got popularized a lot recently, in the last few years, was the Nordic hamstring curl.
Yeah, super popular one.
Very popular. And we'll show you again. If you're watching YouTube, I guess you will be able to see. If you're just listening, maybe you want to hit the Google on that one or something. But that exercise, it actually hits the inside of those muscles that you talked about. So the semitendinosus specifically, when you're doing that exercise, you kind of have the hips fixed in a fixed position and you're moving because someone is holding down at the ankles and then you're moving your body away from your ankles, right? And so you're controlling from where that hamstring meets that knee joint. And so that's really like that semitendinosus is what's going to be affected a little bit more and get that greater strain on it.
Yeah, versus if we're doing something like a bridge exercise. Mm-hmm. We notice that with the bridge, since the foot is fixed and we're not moving at the knee, that we're going to use a little bit more of the biceps group, specifically long head and the short head because they're attached. But we're going to be using that muscle a little bit more than semimembranosus and semitendinosus. And for me, it makes sense because we're not moving at the knee as much, which would recruit those other two groups that both cross the knee.
Yeah. And when we looked at one of the studies too, it did talk about that 80% of hamstring strains mm-hmm. actually happen in the long head of the biceps femoris. And so it's so interesting. Like, yes, we still want to do Nordic and we still want to do these great exercises. However, if we actually do exercises that affect the hip extension as well, which only mm-hmm. connects into like that core control as well, then we can help even more in the majority of people who get hamstring strains. But that doesn't mean it's everything. We still should be adding everything.
Yeah, and that's again why the going back to the core control is so important first, because for me, when I try to go into hip extension, that triggers my mind into wanting to go into anterior pelvic tilt, mm-hmm. which as we said is something that we can find in a lot of people who tend to have chronically tight hamstrings or recurrent hamstring issues.
Exactly. Some of the other ones that we're going to show you guys are the hamstring razor curl. And that's basically, it looks like the setup of the Nordic. Mm-hmm. Someone is still holding on, or you have your ankles fixated and you're on your knees. Well, this time you're going to bend from the hips first, and then you're going to shoot out horizontally along the floor and mm-hmm. then be able to shoot back and then come up.
So what's special about that one?
So that one,
just that it looks funky or what?
Well, you're slowly, so you extend, you get that hip flexed first, and then you extend from the knee, right? And so you're mm-hmm. kind of getting that hamstring to interact together as the hip extends and the knee extends. So you get like a lot of work in that one.
So with that one, for me, I'm thinking, okay, we're adding in more probably. So mm-hmm. that's again, that something that might be another progression after you do some Nordic curls,
right?
Because then we're just moving at one joint, we're just moving at the knee, versus we go into some razor curls and we separate maybe hip and then knee, mm-hmm. and then maybe you explore doing those a little bit together, because that's what we do when we're up moving around the world like humans.
And for all of these, well, we're going to talk about it, but like if you've never done them, I don't recommend just jumping into it. It's a lot. It makes your hamstring work a ton. So that's where using bands mm-hmm. comes into play a lot. And you really want to start just exploring these. And then really, it's so important to progressively load it over time. So maybe you're using two bands and then use one band mm-hmm. and then use your own body weight. And then you can finally go on to like adding load and stuff.
That's the funny thing that we saw in like all of the studies is like a lot of their conclusion is like, this might be good. However, if you think it through and progress well based on the person's progression, it will likely yield a better result. I'm like, great, that sounds awesome. So we need to progress them based on how they're doing, or we need to progress them from where we start them, not just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
But it's not as I mean, it should be common for clinicians, but anyone else listening, it's like, I see an exercise, I do an exercise.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's where it does, like listening to this and understanding, oh, it's okay if this feels really hard, let me use bands. Let me see how I can change it up. Or I need to work with someone individually. Mm-hmm. I need to work with a trainer so that I get progressed like according to what my body specifically needs. And I think having that allowance to say it's okay to work with someone in the beginning and learn, like you cannot just find everything from scrolling Instagram, and you cannot just find, you know, what your individual body needs by picking and choosing random exercises that look sexy.
You'll find some great anterior pelvic tilts if you just scroll through Instagram.
This is true.
But what was it? So we talk all about eccentrics and how eccentrics are great. So there was a study that said, okay, eccentrics were good. You know, however, there might be more benefit to just doing slow resistance training, which in my mind is like, okay, slow resistance training would be slowly doing a concentric and then slow doing an eccentric, which means slowly shortening the muscle and then slowly lengthening the muscle. So you're still getting the slow eccentrics. You're just also adding in concentric, which again, I think just gives you a little bit better overall understanding of what that muscle is doing throughout the whole cycle.
Exactly. It's better awareness. It's better control. It's better proprioception. You know, the one thing that I loved about Pilates, and why I loved like the first Pilates place I worked at, it was connected to a CrossFit gym. And the reason why I loved getting the CrossFitters into my Pilates classes is because you got to slow them down. And that's the one thing that people don't like to do in exercise. Like, I just want to go through it. I want to go fast. I want to go hard. I want to lift more. And when you actually like slow something down, and it's hard, you're shaking, yeah. you don't like to sit in that discomfort, but it creates such a better outcome for your body. And it's where we should be starting anyways. Like, before we even talk about eccentrics and concentrics, which again, lengthening and loading or shortening and loading, the first thing that we should be working on are isometrics. And it's what we do in the muscle activations a lot for the optimal body, because mm-hmm. isometrics really helps you to find where that muscle is, gain that strength within that specific control and range. And then you can add on, let me shorten it and load it. Then let me lengthen it and load it.
And kind of going back to one of the things that we said can irritate or aggravate, you know, hamstring issues in a lot of people, running. Mm-hmm. It then is important to return to running. If that's important to you, or if that's something you want to get back to, we think that for most humans, it's important to try and sprint if you're able to still, to be able to load that at its maximum. I mean, I don't think we put more of an eccentric load through our leg than when we're sprinting and we quickly try to decelerate or stop ourselves.
Yeah.
That is when a lot of people hurt their hips, when a lot of people hurt their knees, when a lot of people roll their ankles, is when we try to slow ourselves down when we're out of control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge one. So strength train, do some of these exercises that we talked about too. Mm-hmm. There's also Romanian deadlift. There's also the extension exercise when you're folded over. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that we can do, but if we start to at least just explore it, start to strength train, start to listen to our body, progressively load it over time. So that means if you're going to add progression in over time, you actually have to do the same exercise over and over and over again. Don't just keep switching it up to the next sexy thing. Like, try this for a while, start slow, start holding, then go into, you know, how you can control it through the range. And then maybe you get into the sprints and you start slow with 10-second sprints and then 30. You know, it's like, start slow, listen to your body. Don't be afraid to go to the basics and just start.
And sometimes the toughest part is to know where you are in that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where we always will say, if you're having frustrations with this, go see somebody who's qualified to talk to you about it. We love to talk about physical therapists because we're both DPTs. But that person is going to help you find where in that progression you are, if you should be continuing to do basic core work. Maybe once you get that core work down, then you're ready to jump into something a little more advanced, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you do need to take it a little more stepwise. When you're with somebody who's trained in this, they'll be able to help you find out where you're at and put you on a direction so that then maybe you can do this on your own, do your own daily maintenance, and prevent this thing from coming back.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.